Gospel of Mark chapter 10, please. The Gospel of Mark chapter 10. And we're going to continue and kind of conclude this mini-series that we've been on that I've entitled The Sway of They. How many of you have ever had they, quote-unquote, in your life? That they tell you you can't do it. They tell you you shouldn't do it. They'll give you every conceivable reason under the sun why it can't be done. And how many of us know you got to tune them out? Right? Remember, we saw that story in the Old Testament last week where Moses sent 12 spies into this great land of promise that God had reserved for his people, the children of Israel. But when the 12 spies came back, only two had a positive report, and the majority of them had a negative report. And because of the 10, because of the majority, it kept an entire nation of about 2 to 2.5 million people from entering and enjoying the land. Isn't that sad? Now, that bears a point this morning that sometimes, most of the time, the majority is wrong. Can I get a witness, please? Can I get a witness? Right? The majority is wrong. Noah was the minority when he was building the ark. He was the minority, he and his seven other family members, and all the 2x2 land animals and such. They were the minority, but listen carefully. After 40 days of raining, Noah exited the ark, the majority. Am I right? Yo. Amen. That's a East St. Louis ghetto. Amen. That's a witness. All righty. Mark chapter 10, please. We're going to read the story of blind Bartimaeus. All right? And he had to overcome some things for him to receive what he needed from Jesus. Verse 46. Then they, Jesus and the disciples, came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. So what was this blind man's profession? He was a beggar, wasn't he? And he was by the roadside, as all beggars were, hoping that someone would come and have pity on his condition. He was blind. And notice the Bible does not give us his name. You notice that? Bartimaeus is not his name. Bartimaeus, Bar, means son of Timaeus, son of Timaeus. So it's redundant here in this story when it says here in verse 46 that a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, that's being redundant. That repeats, Bartimaeus is, in fact, or better translated, son of Timaeus. Now, if you have studied the New Testament extensively, you will find that any time a person is referred to by name, that they immediately are associated with their father. They are, let's say, Cephas, son of John, right? Peter, son of John. Or you have the sons of thunder, okay? You have all these men's names associated with their father, except for Bartimaeus. You only know the name of his father. You don't know this man's name. Why is that, church family? Because the social classes in the time of Jesus were such that the blind people were at the very bottom of the ladder. They were probably the lowest rung or close to the lowest rung. If you notice here, as Jesus is exiting Jericho, heading toward Jerusalem, he encounters another man on the path to Jerusalem. Who was that other man? Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus. Now those, he was a chief tax collector. Those dudes were the bottom of the bottom rung. And then maybe half a rung up were the blind people, because that's the way they were considered in their day and in their culture. Blind people were out of luck. They were looked upon with disdain. They were not looked upon as a worthy human being. They were kind of the dregs of society, because that's the way the Jews looked upon these people. They believed that their blindness was due to some secret sin that they had in their lives. Okay? So now that we have that ironed out, let's go down to verse 47. Notice, this man Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, had heard something about Jesus, hadn't he? Somehow he knew that Jesus could help him in his lowest state. Right? He believed that there was something in Jesus that could help him. How many of you this morning can, with all your heart, believe that Jesus can help you no matter where you are in your point in life or in your journey? Amen. Can I get an amen? Right? Can I get a witness? Right? It is because we are here, listen, that we live for him. We live and move and have our being, because Jesus is our all in all, right? And we don't mean it in a way to pay lip service to Jesus. We believe it. We've experienced the power of God in our lives. Come on, somebody. Amen. We've experienced his healing. We've experienced his provision. We've experienced his forgiveness. We've experienced his restoration in our lives because of Jesus. Well, this man, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, had heard something of him. And not only had heard something of him, he hears this crowd. There's a multitude of people. By this time in Jesus' ministry, he had thousands, tens of thousands of people following him. His fame was spread across the country, right? And so people must have been shouting, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And this man, the son of Timaeus, heard that. How many of you know that blind people have more attuned hearing than the normal person? They've had to develop that. So he heard from a distance that Jesus was walking by. And notice what he does. He cries out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. What is that designation, son of David? The son of Timaeus was acknowledging that Jesus was, in fact, the Messiah. He knew more about Jesus than did his own 12 disciples. Because the disciples at this point did not believe that Jesus was a spiritual Messiah. They believed that he was a political, militaristic Messiah, right? One that would overthrow Rome's rule from them. They believed that Jesus was their meal ticket to freedom as a nation and power as a nation. That Jesus was going to restore Israel to its political heights that it once enjoyed under King David. That's what the 12 disciples believed. They did not see him as a spiritual Messiah, and this blind dude sees him as a spiritual Messiah. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. What happens next? I love this. This is why we've entitled this message series, The Sway of They. Verse 48, then many warned him to be quiet. Why would they warn a blind man to be quiet? Because that's not what blind people are supposed to do. He is stepping out of his condition, and these people want to keep him back in his place. Come on, somebody. They want to keep him in his place. Shut up, son of Timaeus. You're a blind beggar. You don't have a right to cry out. You just be a happy little beggar in your happy little roadside. Keep begging and leave Jesus alone. Anybody ever heard people say or try to keep you in your place? Just remember, Joe, you are an Hispanic American, and you know you can't expect much from American people. I've heard that. I'm like, you know, thankfully, you know what, church family? I'm glad I learned the Word of God at a very, very young age, especially that scripture in Galatians that says, in Christ there is neither Jew nor Gentile, nor male or female. Come on, ladies. Amen. Nor Latinos or Americans. So I learned that at a young age, so these other voices did not faze me. They did not keep me, quote unquote, in my place. I have friends in El Paso, Texas, church family, to tell me, Joe, you don't resemble a Mexican anymore. You speak quite well. Well, this is the country I live in, right? I remember, church family, that's not the way it all began. I did not learn how to speak English till I was in the sixth grade. In the sixth grade, I was in and out of remedial reading, remedial writing, remedial math, remedial English, remedial PE. True story. True story. I'm not kidding you. They took all, this is before the political correctness, they took all of us who were not physically fit and put us in a classroom. And I'm like, what am I doing here? And I look around like, well, I guess I know what I'm doing here. Remedial, I was Mr. Remedial. And yet, I refused to stay in that place. Why? Because I had heard something about this Jesus. I had heard that Jesus could give me a better life. Come on, somebody. Right? But what do you have to do to the sway of they? You got to tune it out, baby. You got to tune them out because they're there. Well, who do you think you are? Well, you think you're hot stuff now? What? No, no, you're Mexican, you stay here, this is all you can expect of life. Is that true, church family? Is that all we can really expect of life? Is Jesus a respecter of persons? Is Jesus a respecter of races? Is Jesus a respecter of economic classes? Come on, somebody, help me preach this. Is Jesus a respecter of beggars? Or a disrespecter of beggars? No. But see, we have to come to that place in our lives that our inner shout has got to tune out the outer shout of the haters. Right? Our inner desire has got to be greater than the verbal discouragement of others. Am I right, church family? See, it's the hungry people that get to Jesus. Let me say that again. It's the hungry people that get to Jesus. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 5? He said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? They shall be filled. Right? So we got, our hunger has got to surpass the negativity around us. Our inner hunger has got to surpass all the negativity around us. All right? So what did, they all told this blind man, look, you stay in your place, be a nice little beggar, remain blind and be quiet and shut up, right? So, what did this guy do? But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Don't you think he yelled louder? Yep. What do you think Jesus does to that kind of faith? Does Jesus ignore that kind of faith? No, man, he loves that kind of faith, doesn't he? Yep. The one that says, I will not be swayed. I will not be discouraged. I will not be turned back. I know who Jesus is, and I've got a clear path to him. Jesus Christ is in my crosshairs. Come on, somebody. And I'm going to get to him despite of what everybody else is saying. Try everybody else trying to keep me in my own little place, but no, Jesus, here I come. Right? I love this story, and notice what, it got Jesus' attention, didn't it? So Jesus, verse 49, stood still and commanded him to be called. Somebody, Jesus said, hey, somebody go get him. Then they called the blind man. The same people that were telling him to shut up, now they're saying, son of Timaeus, the master wants you. Can I key in on that a little bit, church family? The population is always fickle, right? Yep. They are always fickle. One day they're hating on you. And then when you outgrow their expectations or their negativity, oh, wow, I knew you had it in you, son. You're an achiever. You're an overachiever. I knew you'd go get it. I knew you would go places. Baloney. You know, when I was in high school, a friend of mine and I, he and I entered a drawing contest at our high school. And he was good at designing buildings, and I was good at drawing most anything. And so he drew our high school building in the background, and I drew like a tiger, our mascot there at El Paso High, in the foreground. And we submitted, and I thought we had done a pretty darn good job of our drawing, and because it was a drawing entry for pairs, you know, pair of artists. So I remember looking before the assembly, looking at all the drawings, and I still like mine, and so I went to sit down. And right before they called the winner of this entry, I got up, and I was, because all the winners were supposed to make their way down to the center of the gym floor, and I got up, and all my friends were like, "That is very pompous. You think you're that good, huh?" I said, "It's called faith. I believe that we won the prize." So I'm heading down, so they couldn't believe it. They were like embarrassed for me. Because I got up before they announced our names. On my way down, they announced our names that we had, in fact, won. And so we got this prize, and we got some money cash and or cash award. And these other friends that were first hating on me while I got up and made my way down, they're like, "Oh, yeah, Joe, I could have seen that. You guys won, obviously. That's a great drawing, man. It's a no-brainer. Your drawing was the best. You're in this guy." And Edgar's drawing was the best drawing. First, they're hating. And then one of my friends asked me, "So what if you had not won?" I said, "That's simple. I would have just gone to the restroom." And the moral of the lesson is, don't leave yourself without a security blanket. Yeah. Safety net. Anyway, let's finish this off. So far, so good, church family. Yep. Liking this message? Yep. All right, let's go on. So the same crowd that was hating on Jesus, now they're encouraging him to go to Jesus. Not hating on Jesus, hating on this blind man. Now they're encouraging him to go to Jesus. Notice verse, then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer," or "Be of good courage, rise, he is calling you." And notice verse 50, and throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. What was a beggar's garment? That's all that beggar had to his name. That was all of his possessions was that garment. He used that garment to put on his lap for people to throw money, coins in it. That's how they beg. Or in the cold, when it was colder, he would use it as a blanket to warm himself. That's all he had. But notice, he threw that away. Why did he throw that away? Because he had faith that Jesus was going to give him a better life. Right? He threw that away because he believed in his heart he didn't need that any longer, did he? What's so different between that, what Bartimaeus did, and what I did? No difference, right? He didn't have the guarantee that Jesus was going to help him, but he believed he was, right? So he threw that begging garment away. They led him to Jesus. I love this. Jesus gives him a blank check. Verse 51, Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Okay, church family, let me ask you that question today. Say Jesus walked up to you today and asked you, "What do you want me to do for you? What one thing do you want me to do for you?" You don't have to answer out loud. In your heart, what is that one thing that you'd like for Jesus to do for you? I can think of a million things. "Lord, I want my investments to shoot through the roof." There are a myriad of things. "Lord, I need healing. Lord, I'm praying for my son. I'm praying for my daughter. I'm praying for my grandkids. Lord, I need help with this struggle in my life." Come on, somebody. Jesus gave him a blank check. What did the guy want? He wanted his sight, didn't he? He said, the blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Wow. Can I tell you something? Another translation, perhaps some of your Bibles read this way. And immediately Jesus told them, your faith has saved you. Anybody else's translation read that way? Your faith has saved you. It's a Greek word, sozo, which means to be saved, to be healed, to be provided for. It's an all-comprehensive word. And notice, he received the spiritual sight as much as he received his physical eyesight. Right? He could see Jesus physically, but he saw Jesus spiritually as the Son of David, as the Messiah, right? So, in conclusion, listen, church family, let's tune out the they. They'll try to sway you to stay back, to hold you back, to do nothing, to not follow Jesus, to not follow Jesus more closely. Anybody ever hear this? Well, you don't want to, Joe, you don't want to find yourself in a cult. You know, you should only dedicate, I heard this growing up. You should only dedicate 1 hour to your religion. The rest you should dedicate to other things in your life. You know, you should go dating, son. You know, go do this, go do that. I'm like, wow, well-meaning. Some of these voices they're not haters. They're well-meaning voices. Come on, somebody. But they're going to keep you where other people think that you cannot grow out of. Well, how many of us know in Jesus we go from faith to faith, from glory to glory, amen? From strength to strength, let's pray. Gracious Lord, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement of Scripture, Father, that we don't have to be stuck in a certain place in life. Lord, that if we have that determination of that blind man, that we can outgrow places. That we can outgrow some people's expectations of us. That we can outgrow certain friends, Lord. That we can outgrow certain limitations. Help us, Lord, to keep going from faith to faith to faith to faith. From glory to glory to glory to glory. Strength to strength to strength to strength. Through your name we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.